Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. And I'm excited to welcome Nobel Prize nominated doctor, also best-selling author and emergency room physician, Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, I'm so glad to do another show with you. How are you, sir?
Well, you know what? I'm doing great. And, you know, I'm very excited about this show because, you know, we have a gentleman here. A local rapper here on the Gulf Coast who has a wonderful story. And so I'm very excited about this interview today.
So who's our guest?
Well, wow. You know, I'm very excited, very honored to bring to the show Mr. Jarrell Simon. This is an individual who, again, very talented as a young person, had taken up the trumpet, was so talented, was put on the stage with Hammer. As a young person, he's toured across the country, opened up for TI. And so, wow, I'm very happy to welcome to the show, Mr. Jarrell Simon. Welcome to the show, Jarrell.
Hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, this is man, Jay Simon, right here from Mobile, Alabama, man. Thank y'all so much for having me today.
Thanks for being on. I know Chris has his first question. Go ahead for Jay Simon.
Well, no problem. Well, you know, Jay, everyone doesn't know a whole lot about the rap world. And the things that it takes to get in the rap world. But before we get in there, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, where you're from and how you decided to get into music.
Well, yeah, man, I'm from a little small town right outside of Mobile. Actually, it's in Mobile County, a town called Saraland, Alabama. I was born and raised there. I grew up musically inclined. I kind of discovered my gift at a very young age. You know, my very first artist that I ever imitated or wanted to be like was Michael Jackson. You know, and I remember when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and my Aunt Carissa, she purchased me my first Michael Jackson kit. It came with the jacket, the glove, the microphone, and ever since that time, man. My family and myself knew that the musical talent was there. So whenever people used to come in for family reunions or Christmas or Thanksgiving, I was the entertainer, you know, so I've always been entertaining all my life, literally. And that's where it started from there. And then, you know, moving on and progressing as far as getting more into the musical side of it. In middle school, I played trumpet. My grandmother, she bought me my first instrument, which was a trumpet. And from the sixth grade all the way up through high school, I graduated from Satsuma High School. I was actually the top trumpet player in the state of Alabama 4 years straight. So, the dynamics as far as like the musical ability, you know, has always been there for quite some time. And, you know, as I got, you know, older and got out of high school, that's when it transitioned more into being just a musical artist and becoming a rapper myself. So
Jay, kind of tell me specifically, when did you know you had the talent to be a rapper? If you started out, you're so musically inclined to get to rap it. How did you start thinking, hey, I'm going to rap?
Well, again, this was something that was kind of discovered early on because, you know, in school, you know, middle school, high school, one of my favorite subjects, you know, of course, was music. I was also big into sports, but, you know, my favorite number one subject was reading and literature. I was a, you know, great writer. I always wrote stories, always wrote poems. I always loved the girls. So one of the smoother things I used to do was write love letters. Matter of fact, I was so good at it till a lot of my friends and partners used to pay me to write them a poem for their girlfriend, you know, for Valentine's Day or things of that nature. So, you know, I've always had the gift of writing and, you know, used to always play around in the hallways or, you know, beat on the side of the locker. And, you know, do a little freestyling and things of that nature. But I really took a hold to it and took it really serious when I attended my first year at the University of South Alabama. And a friend of mine put my name in a hat to be in a talent show. I didn't even know I was going to be in it. And I got up there and I wrecked it. And after that, you know, it just kind of took off from there.
Well, you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up because that was my next question. How does it feel to, being so talented to earn that full scholarship in music to the University of South Alabama, incidentally, what I think is a great school. I'm an alumni myself there. Tell us about that, Jay.
I mean, yeah, man. I mean, it was a great honor because, you know, in my family, I was literally the first person to, you know, not only get a full scholarship like that, but go to college for music. You know, so it was a big deal, man. It was really cool. It was something that my family was extremely proud of. It's just during that time as well, though, you know, coming up at that time, that age, you can lose focus real quick, especially if you've always been in the house or you've always been, you know, the church kid. And, you know, if you get outside of that and you're not really prepared for what the world has to offer, what's going to be out there, you know, there's a lot of things and a lot of temptation that you can, you know, fall subject to. And ironically, that's what happened to me. You know, I went in, I did great. Then my first 2 years, man, dean list the whole nine. But, you know, when I was discovered by one of my good friends now, Mr. Sherman Williams, when I was discovered by him, I had an opportunity to sign with him and handle as far as being a producer at his studio and also his top artist. So when that came about and, you know, got a chance to see the most money I've ever seen in my life and things of that nature, you know, I got caught, you know, in the hype of it, you know, and I lost my way and I wound up dropping out of college. And one of the reasons why at that time, which was very foolish if you ask me, was that I felt like I made more money than my college professor. I felt like I made more than the director. So why waste my time doing it if I already made it? In my mind, that's what I was thinking. And, you know, even to this day, I kind of hate that I didn't finish, but at the same time, there's no regrets because those are the things that kind of helped me and mold me to become, you know, the man and the person that I am now. And to also share those experiences with a lot of our, you know, new and upcoming artists and, you know, to let them know that, hey, man, it's cool, you know, to get your education. It's cool to get your degrees. It's cool to, you know, to do the right things and take the right steps and not get caught up in the hype or the peer pressure or, you know, all of the things that you see on TV that's not really what it is. It's not really the reality side of it. So, again, man, like I said, I don't regret it at all. It got me to where I'm at now. But, yeah, I mean, when I did get the scholarship, it was cool, man. It was a good feeling, you know, because I accomplished something that a lot of people felt like I wouldn't, you know, be able to do. So
Jay, when you decided to drop out of college to go rap because you were going to make money, how did you lay that decision out? I did the same thing. I dropped out of undergrad to be a professional wrestler, then came back, finished my undergrad and got my master's degree. But I had a decision. I said, man, this is an opportunity that no other opportunity I'm ever going to have. If I go back to local wrestling versus a territory that was in down south, I would not. I thought I was just going for the summer. And I said, you know what? I'm going to continue this. And the education I got in professional wrestling for a year and a half down south, working every night a week, was worth its weight in gold. How many options were you weighing before you said, hey, I got to jump from college to do this?
Well, I mean, you know, it was the biggest option again. I mean, at that age, man, you know, 18, 19 years old, you know, somebody pulls up, I'm driving a 1989 Geo Spectrum, and, you know, that had a kill switch on it that I had to push and crank up at the same time. And then the next day, I have a guy pulls up with a 2020 brand new Lincoln town car, as well as a 1966 Monte Carlo, as well as a bag full of money, as well as keys to a studio. And, you know, this is what I always dreamed of. This is what I always wanted to do. So when it came to, hey, I can be an entertainer and make this amount of money, I already got all of this, or I can be a band director. And not, you know, not clowning on the band director side, but at the same time, like, hey, we talking about $250,000. Versus being a band director who only makes about 40 to 50 grand a year. So, you know, that's where it was. I mean, at that time, too, I was kind of still trying to find myself. You know, one of the main reasons why I even stuck with it was because I was actually very, very good in sports. But my senior year in high school, I was in a very bad car wreck that I could have lost my life. One of my best friends did. And it kind of destroyed and put a halt to any type of, you know, sports that I could do in collegiate level, just due to the injury of my leg, the injury of my shoulder. So I was already kind of like I felt like, wow, this is it. This is where I'm at, but I'm going to go ahead and push through and make my grandmother proud, make my mother proud. And that's who it was really about, because of the sacrifices that they made, because of the things that they did to take out the time to get me the right lessons, to get me in the right places and do the things. I wasn't going to University of South Alabama for myself. I was going for them. And, you know, when it got to the point where I had a choice to choose something for myself, you know, that was the move I made. You know, I spoke to my mother and grandmother about it. Of course, my grandmother was, you know, disappointed, but at the same time, she understood because, again, they knew I was born to be a star. And to their knowledge, hey, maybe this was it. You know, to my knowledge, thinking, hey, this is it. This is my chance. If I don't jump now, I might not get this opportunity again. And, you know, and I made that jump and I made that leap. And again, you know, like I said, like sometimes we make decisions that can affect us, but at the same time, it can also affect you in a good way. No matter how bad it might be, or if it was a mistake or it was a bad move, you know, you learn from that, you build from that, you get character from that. And I've always been the type of person where I've never, ever quit at anything. I never, you know, if I fall down, I get back up, I keep going again. You know, I never use excuses or obstacles to stop me from getting, you know, to certain levels or reaching my goals. So, you know, again, those are the things that I'm really, really proud of because, you know, it made me who I am again, you know, once again today. It really helped me out a whole lot, and I'm appreciative of that. Good, bad, ugly, however it may have been, you know, I would never, you know, change for anything in the world.
All right, so let's kind of just jump into specifically enough the thinking about this, Jay. Once you made your big break, you said $250,000. So tell us more about that experience and how you transformed in rap from going from college to that.
Well, I mean, you know, it was good. You know, like I said, it set me up, you know, to do bigger and nice, good things. The transition from that point, though, was that it didn't go too far. And the reason why I didn't go too far is because my right-hand guy, my partner, had got incarcerated. He had got incarcerated, and I'm speaking back on Sherman Williams. He was, just to kind of give you a background, which I already know people know who he is, but, you know, Sherman was a professional football player. He was the top guy. He had just got his probably fourth ring because he's the only player that I know of who's got a ring on the high school level championship, championship with Alabama. Then he went to the Dallas Cowboys and got a championship. And when he came back to Mobile, he actually won a championship with the Mobile Admirals. So, you know, he got incarcerated, got caught up in the jam. And when that happened, that put a halt on that situation. That put a halt on all of that to the point to where the cars that I had, that wasn't in my name, they were taken back. The certain contracts that I was under was null and void. You know, certain money had to be paid back. You know, apartments had to be given back because these are the things that were, you know, basically purchased by him. And that was something that I learned right off is that, you know, when you're doing things, make sure you do it in your name, make sure you got everything intact. But again, I was very young, man. I was in a hype of it. I had a chance to meet Master P and the No Limit crew for the first time. He took me there. I even had a chance to battle with, you know, artists like Mystical and C Murder and, you know, Fiend, who are with Cash Money. I had a chance to meet Cash Money Records as well, Manny Fresh for the first time. So it was just a lot of great things that would happen and good experiences. But, you know, one bad situation or one big mistake can change it all. All of it can change. All of it can be swiped away. All of it can be taken away. So when that happened, I was back at square one. And it was a terrible feeling because of the fact that I felt like I let a lot of people down. But at the end of the day, you know, I knew I had the strength to pull myself up, you know, brush myself off and go even further. And that's when I started learning the business more by myself. I started digging into, you know, learning how to get my LLC, learning what royalties was all about, learning all of the things that I need to know. Because during that time, an artist wasn't supposed to know anything. Only thing you're supposed to do is get in the booth, rap, sing, dance, whatever, and it is. You hear these stories a lot. You know, you even heard it about Whitney Houston and her father, you know, as far as like bad situations or bad contracts or bad business. And that was because of the fact during that time, an artist was just an artist. And I learned how to teach myself how not to be, you know, I was an artist by talent. I was an artist, you know, just born with a gift. But I taught myself how to become the businessman that I needed to be, to the point to where I was able to learn the business inside and out and be able to protect my music, protect my royalties, protect my publishing, and make my money from that way. You know, even all when it came to booking and things of that nature, I was able to help book myself on shows, and I used to play like I was the manager. So it was pretty cool because I would speak on the phone, you know, super professional to whoever I'm talking to, and then when they got a chance to meet, you know, Relic at the time, my name was Relic, the Dirt Road Pimp. They met the artist, you know, so I always kind of like played that because I was so afraid to trust anyone, you know, with my life, with my talent, with my skills, and not being done the correct way. And it just helped me out a whole lot. So, but yeah, I really had to dig deep and learn the business. And that's what's so important, because if you don't know the business, then, you know, you're going to get screwed. I mean, it's just a simple fact.
So, Chris, I know you have a couple more questions for Jay. Go ahead.
Oh, well, no doubt. Well, no doubt. You know, Jay, I wanted to ask him, you know, like I said, you know, with his earning the scholarship, being so talented, you know, there's been some challenges too, Jay. You know, tell us about the challenges that you've had actually make it where you are now.
I mean, you know, challenges, I mean, man, there's challenges every day, brother. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I don't even look at them as challenges. It's more just life. You know, life experiences, things that you learn, things that that comes your way. And it's all about, you know, and I keep going back to it, but, you know, I can't help but to go back to it. It's just really about all about how you bounce back and do the things that you need to do. But I've ran into bad contracts. I've had situations with Sony Records. I've had situations with Atlantic. I've had situations with Universal, with all of these different companies that I had an opportunity to do things with, and they went south. And the reason why they went south is because it might have been bad communication, bad management, bad business, you know, all of the above. I've even bought myself out of contracts. I mean, I've been doing it for that long and so many times to where, you know, I've literally had enough money to buy myself out of a situation, because again, when I first started, my stage name and my artist name was Relic, and then it became Relic DRP, which stands for Dirt Road Pimp. And by having that and having these different situations, it got to a point where I couldn't even use my name. So the only way that I can be able to go further is that I had to rebrand myself. I had to rewrite everything, you know, and at the same time, I had to like get up enough money to where I bought myself out of the contract and bought my name back. But during that process, that's when I transitioned and rebranded myself. And I took the J from Jarrell and my last name Simon, and I was Jay Simon. And I knew for a fact that no one could take that from me, due to the fact that, hey, this is my, you know, this is the name that I was born with. Kind of hard to take that right one away, but I still did the proper things as far as trademarking Jay Simon and trademarking Relic DRP and trademarking my company, Boondock Global LLC, Boondock Global Entertainment, and just doing the right things, you know, to get to this point. So again, man, I mean, it's been a lot, man. There's a lot of stories, a lot of things, you know, a lot of crazy stuff I've been involved with. I've been in, you know, bad situations. I've been in situations where there was, you know, shootouts. I've been in a situation where there was raids, you know, just all type of things, man, that you can think about, you know, or you can imagine.
Right.
But, you know, I was always just blessed to be able to come out of those situations. I was blessed to be, you know, protected and, you know, just be I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But at the same time, you know, I really give a lot of, you know, thanks and praise to God for just protecting me through all that, because I never did get caught up or got, you know, in any type of situation or troubles from it. But I was able to learn and grow and build and just, you know, prepare myself. And now I move different. Now I walk different. Now I talk different. I think differently. You know, even when, you know, myself and my wife, if we go to an event, you know, someone said at my last show, like, man, you move like the president, you know, because I have the proper security. I have the proper team around me. You know, during that time in the earlier stages, you know, it was like, you know, you want, you know, the people that you grew up with or you came up with, you want to have them, you want to show them love. So it was 20, 30 guys on the stage at one time. Like, why? You know, like, why there's so many people here? Now I went from a team of 30 to now my team is about five. You know, five solid team members, you know, that are there, and everybody has a job to do. Everybody has a responsibility, you know, whether it's for security, whether it's setting up, you know, our merchandise, whether it's making sure that VIP is where it needs to be. And, you know, that's the way I move now, but I don't even, you know, my wife didn't understand it at first. She was like, oh my God, you're getting, like, are you getting old? Like, you're getting, you know, we're not having fun now, baby. It's not that. It's just that we have to protect ourselves and move a different way because, you know, if I don't do that, you know, we can slip up and anything can happen. I've lost friends, you know, in this business, man. Like, either they're, you know, dead or in jail. You know what I'm saying? So I have to move a different way. And she finally understood that, you know, as we got older, we've, you know, been together for 10, 12 years now. And, you know, as time went on, she started seeing it more like, okay, I see. Now it's to the point where she don't want to go nowhere if my team is not already set up and already involved and we know what's going on. Because when I go to do something, I'm going to handle business and, you know, right, have fun and show love to my fans, my family, the crowd, and get back home safely. Because that's my number one goal. My number one goal is to get back home safely to my family, to my kids, and, you know, be here again to see another day, bro.
Awesome. Awesome. Very true. Very true.
All right, Chris, another question you have for Jay Simon?
Oh, yeah. A couple more questions. You know, I think we're learning a lot here again, you know, from Jay Simon. Again, a rapper well known here in the Mobile area along the Gulf Coast. And so, Jay, tell us a little bit about, you know, I know you have a son there at the University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa. Tell us a little bit about him. And, you know, how you've influenced him to do what he's doing.
Well, yeah, man, that's all going to be my son, D. I have three boys. I have Trayvon. Trayvon is actually 26. Yeah, I started early. So I have my son, Trayvon. He's 26. He's doing really good, man. He's, he works for Austell at this point in time now. He's doing really great. Doing great things. Super proud of him. My son D is the one who goes to the University of Alabama. This is going to be his sophomore year coming up. And D, I've had, you know, D's amazing, amazing young man. I've watched him. Now my son Trayvon and D, my wife, you know, these were her boys, and of course we got married. So, you know, these were my boys by marriage. And I've had D and brought D up there since he was around about 5 or 6 years old, you know, and my job at that time was that I wanted to make sure that everything I do, and we have to be aware of this too. When you have children, when you have kids, they watching everything that you do, you know, because their hero is you. So they're watching what the hero do. They're watching how the hero move. They're watching how the hero handle different situations and things of that nature. So, you know, and I made sure that, you know, whatever he saw from me, he saw me from the best example. And he saw the real me. He got a chance to see, you know, pop behind the scenes and how things work. You know, and I always encourage him, man, you know, just do good, do great things. You know, he was big in basketball and football. You know, I made sure that I was there at every game. I made sure I was there to watching all the way through that. And, you know, got him enrolled in Saraland High School. Well, actually, Saraland Middle School, where he did great. Saraland High School, where he did good. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do that, because he could have went to, you know, Williamson or Davidson or, you know, LaFleur, things of that nature, which is cool. But one of the reasons why I wanted him to go to Saraland is because I knew how well it did for me going to, like, for example, Satsuma High School. And what I mean by that is that it gave me the ability to be able to be more diverse, to be able to work with, you know, to be able to work with Black, white, Hispanic, you know, whomever, you know, all shades and all colors of life, to where
diverse people.
Yeah, diverse people. So therefore, because that's what you're dealing with in the world. you know, that, you know, like, for example, you know, of course, I'm also in the automobile industry. And in the automobile industry, you know, that background for me helps me out a lot, because it doesn't matter who I'm in front of, who's in front of me. You know, I know how to turn the switch on and off. You know, I know how to interact with people. I know how to, you know, to deal with them and relate and find something that we have in common, you know, and it just helps him out a whole lot, especially going up to Alabama. You know, when he first got there, he was like, wow, you know, I finally made it, you know, and it was a great big thing for us. And he's doing great, man. And he made the dean list, got another scholarship, you know, so he's doing great. Yeah, he really is.
Look at that. Got all that intelligence from his dad and that drive and hard work. So,
yeah, man. And then that's another thing, too. So, like, he knows the background. You know, like, these are stories that I share with him. You know, I want them to know, you know, I don't want you to just see it all good. This is what dad had to go through to get to where he's at. You know, and I'm telling you these things because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. You don't have to. I've already made the sacrifices for you. I've already made all the bumps and the hiccups and all this thing. Let me show you how to get straight to the prize. You know, let me give you the blueprint. And I appreciate him so much because he takes it. Yeah, I want to learn. I want to know more, Pop. I want to learn. I want to see how it's done. You know, because a lot of times as kids, you know, you kind of be a little rebellious, you know, against your family. You may think they don't know what they're talking about, or, you know, you're too old. Because I was that kid. I was like, man, y'all know what I'm talking about. I know what I got going on. And I had to learn the hard way. Yeah. So I'm just grateful that he does listen and he does, you know, follow my lead.
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic, Chris.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Are you going to summarize Jay Simon for us, Chris?
Yeah, no problem. Now, we asked about him opening up for T.I., didn't we? And what that was like.
Yeah, we talked about that, right? Some of your, just continue that whole process about what celebrities you crossed paths with in your career.
Yeah, man, no problem. So celebrities that I've crossed paths with, man. Number one, I have to give, you know, a lot of love, and I always do, to someone who was like a brother to me, man, and he took me up under his wing. And that was the famous, and RIP to him, that's the last Mr. Big Diamond, right here from the Gulf Coast, of course, Mobile area. You know, I had a chance to watch him work, to watch him, you know, do like four shows in one night, you know, and just be on the road with him and learn a lot, man. And I give a lot of praise and a lot of love to him because he didn't have to open the doors and show me the way, but he did. And by me getting that experience and being with him, I was able to do great things as far as like be on big shows with Lil Wayne, Juvenile. I was on tour. Matter of fact, I was in a play with Dave Hollister, Monifa. I've done shows with Outkast, Big Boy of Outkast. I had an opportunity to do a concert with one of my favorite right. artists in group was UGK, Young Jeezy, Devin the Dude, Project Pat, 2 Chainz, Nelly, Wu-Tang, 8 Ball, MJG, Scarface, Snoop, Migos, Rick Ross. And the whole T.I. situation came about was because I'm a pretty, you know, big performer at Soul Kitchen, which is in downtown Mobile. And they were bringing in T.I. for a show. And ironically, during that same time, I had just got with my new project deal with Lane Entertainment, and my right. project manager her name is Dina Marto. At the same time, Dina Marto was also T.I.'s manager and project manager. So okay. I wasn't signed to the label, but we both had the same ties, and he came down to do the show. And you know, again, ironically, I was already with her. I got the phone call from Soul Kitchen. They was like, hey, man, we need help selling these tickets because we got T.I. on a Wednesday night and these tickets are not moving. The people don't really believe it. The city's not, you know, really buying it. So by me putting my name on it and getting my team involved and saying, hey, this is real. T.I. is really coming. Then that's when the people start like, hey, okay, this must be real because Jay's not going to put his name on anything and it's not, you know, official. And man, like within about 3-4 days, we sold like close to 1,500 tickets. And when I say we, I'm talking about myself and two of my team members with Jay Simon. We sold 1,500 tickets, man. And the T.I. Camp, you know, himself, they got a chance to see that. Matter of fact, the tour, it was the Hustle Gang tour, and it started in Mobile and went from Mobile to Birmingham. So I got invited to go to Birmingham. Went to Birmingham, did the same thing, man. They was very impressed because they was like, man, you got following in Birmingham as well. So it was a sold-out show there. Then I was invited to Tallahassee. I couldn't take the Tallahassee trip due to my father had just passed at the time, and his funeral was scheduled on that Saturday. So, you know, just was unable to do it. And then I had to pick myself up and brush myself off and get back off again, because then I was invited to go to Knoxville, Tennessee. And after that, you know, they saw that. They saw that dedication. They saw how hungry I was. Man, they gave me the opportunity to go on tour with them, man. And you know, the rest is history.
Oh, wow. Well, great.
All right, Chris. All right. I guess, Dr. Hall, it's time to summarize Jay Simon.
Oh, well, no problem. Well, you know, well, there you have it. Okay, from the fertile ground of the Gulf Coast that's produced some of the greatest rappers like Lil Wayne in history. Jay Simon, again, worked with these individuals, has been deep in the game, okay? He's told us about his life. He's told us about what he, how he's learned, what he's passed on to his kids. And so at the Soul Kitchen, you know, I'll tell you straight out, me and my wife are going to be at the Soul Kitchen to check out Jay Simon next time he's there. And I just want to give Jay Simon a thanks for coming on the show and for telling us about your life and your experiences.
Man, I really appreciate it, man. I really do, man. Thank you both. Make sure everybody, man, you go to jsimonsays.com. Go to my website. Check me out. Follow me on all social media platforms. Official Jay Simon. That's OfficialJSimon. Follow me. I'm gonna follow back. I'm a real dude, man. I don't even call my people fans. I call them family. So make sure you check out that. Make sure you check out the new project Simon Says. My other project, Church Music, and a new project on the way. Graduated to an OG. So thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you guys, man, and much love.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Sir, definitely
want
to have
you back. Thank you again, Jay Simon. What a great show. So that was, again, the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. Guys, take care.